1 million people live in Nairobi's Kibera slum. There's little clean water, so diseases like cholera, malaria, and typhoid are rampant, and so is crime. A new short film called Hands of Love follows the struggle of David Wary, a young man who's lived most of his life in Kibera. It's a segment of Youth Producing Change, a compilation of 11 stories from young filmmakers around the globe, and it's being shown tomorrow evening at 7 at the Walter Reed Theater in Lincoln Center. David Wary joins me now, along with Jen Nedbalski, the coordinator of the series for the Human Rights Watch Film Festival, and Justice Ungerer, one of the student filmmakers behind Hands of Love. And I'm very pleased to welcome David, Jen, and Justice to our show today. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
David, the Kibera slum is huge. Could you describe it for us?
Kibera slum is actually one of the biggest slums in Kenya, and with people of approximately 1 million who live there.
Yeah, well, it's the largest, isn't it? I think it's the second largest in Africa after Johannesburg, and the third largest altogether, because Rio is even bigger. But we have this large place. How did it come about? Was it that Nairobi was just growing and the government couldn't handle it?
Yeah, it's actually one of the largest in Kenya, but in Africa it's the second largest.
Mm-hmm. Have you lived in Kibera all your life?
Yeah, all my life I've lived in Kibera.
And what kinds of diseases are prevalent in the slum?
There's diseases that are in Kibera, like typhoid, TB, that's tuberculosis, malaria, that are brought with poor water, dirty water.
Does Nairobi offer any services? Does it pave the streets? Does it offer transportation? Does it set up medical facilities?
Actually, the medical facilities that are in Nairobi are not that close to us. That's why we are really affected with this problem. They are actually very far from us.
Now, you say in the film that you weren't born in Kibera. Why would your family move to such an awful place?
I can say that it was not our fault. My father had to come from upcountry, and he found his place in Kibera. That's where we were born and brought up in Kibera. Due to small kind of payment that he got from where he had to work, he actually found somewhere where he could at least bring us up.
Justice, do you also live in Kibera?
Yes, I live in Kibera.
And your whole family?
I used to stay with my sister, but currently I'm on my own. After my sister, she passed on last year.
How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
You worked on this film with David. Why did you decide to feature David in the film? You could just as easily have been the person who takes us through Kibera.
We decided to do that movie because is something that happens most of the people, most of the slum dwellers. So we decided to make it at least to pose a challenge to people around Kibera and to make the issue known to other people who are out of Kibera and maybe out of Kenya, at least to have an idea what is happening in that slum.
How were you able to get all the film and sound equipment and the editing equipment?
There is a friend of ours and the coordinator of Voiceless Children in Kenya. He's called Felix Mercy. When he heard our story that there's some people who are trying to clean that environment, he came in and to help us make a documentary on that. So that is the way he came to produce this short documentary.
And had you wanted to have a career in filmmaking, or is this something that just fell into your lap?
No, I have a career in filmmaking because I see like through filmmaking, we can bring the change that we want. We don't like the face of that slum, and running away out of that slum won't help as such. So we like to stay there and try to make it a better place for all the people.
David, you also worked behind the scenes in the film. What did you do?
Actually, I was the main character. Mm-hmm. So
you take us through. You're the voice and the face of this film.
Yeah. So being the main character, actually, I had to speak using my story. My father was attacked at night when he was trying to go out and ease himself. All of a sudden.
Your father went out to go to a bath. There's very limited sanitary conditions. And yeah. Your father went out and somebody attacked him to rob him?
Yeah. Somebody just, you know, the toilets, the washrooms are a bit far from where we live because in the plot that we live, there are like 30 houses. And out of these 30 houses, we only share one toilet. So he had to cover a distance so that he could reach the toilet.
That means that anyone going out in the middle of the night is putting himself in danger.
Danger. That's a very, very risk thing to do.
And your father was seriously hurt by this. He had brain damage, didn't he?
Yeah, he was seriously injured, as in he lost one eyesight, and he also became paralyzed.
Is there any policing done in the area?
No, the police stations are very far from us.
So, but somebody must be aware of the fact that people like you, your father, are totally vulnerable, and they're offering you no protection. Is this a slum that Nairobi is just ignoring?
Actually, because people are very many in Kibera, now the people find it very difficult to help. So we actually took the challenge to ourselves. Because we couldn't run away from the problem, and we, the youth, are the change. So through the help of Adobe Youth Voices and the Voiceless Children, they helped us the facilities that we needed, like the cameras, the computers. So we had to actually shoot this movie and edit it by ourselves and share with the world what we have.
Well, the conditions, Justice, in Kibera that we see in the film are shocking. Why would a country like Kenya, which is one of the more successful African nations, allow something like this to happen in its capital city? Has anybody in the area asked the government that?
I'm not sure, but that is what we really don't know. We like to know what is it happening. Like, we have a very beautiful city, but around it, you have a very bad slum that brings a very bad image. So we have seen, like, maybe the government is not very active to fulfill the needs of such people. That's why you have taken the challenge to our hands and tried to do something, not do like the government is doing. Even though it's trying to come up to build, like, some toilets to make sure the environment is better, to do away with the flying toilets. So it's like, We also want to contribute towards that because it can't provide everything. We want to contribute, and maybe if we can do something small, they can add something to make it big.
Are the people who live in Kibera working in the big city?
Some are working in the big city, and some are to majority. They, like, it is like a slum of low earners. People earn less, so it's like life is easy in there. Maybe not all people are working in the city. Maybe have some business in the slum or some just near the slum.
My guests are Justice Ngara, who's a student filmmaker for a group called Listen Up in Adobe Youth Voices. He and David Wary are contributors to Hands of Love, which is being shown as part of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival. And also with us is Jen Nedbalski, who's the coordinator for Youth Producing Change, the youth wing of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival. How many films were submitted to Youth Producing Change, Jen?
We received over 300 submissions from 45 countries this year.
Well, it's obvious why you selected Hands of Love. It's quite effective. But what were your criteria for inclusion?
The films have to be quality films, and they have to be able to tell a story articulately, but also they have to focus on a human rights issue. In addition, unlike other festivals, our festival has to check the film for factual accuracy. So it was quite challenging, I think, for the 11 films to have been selected out of the 300.
Did you go to Kibera?
No, I have never been to Kibera.
Seems like a fascinating place to visit as long as you don't have to stay very long.
No.
David, you're laughing.
We have such fantastic people here that are working to make it a better place.
Now, I was surprised by how professional these films look. Did the kids get a lot of help from adults in the field?
Well, do you want to answer that?
Okay, actually, most of the things we did by ourselves, but we had some of the mentors, like Felix Massey, who's the director of Voiceless Children in Kenya. Mm. So he was just like a mentor to us. But through the Adobe Youth Voices, we went through the training, and actually we had the skills of making films and editing.
You say in the film, my life is not much different from that of a prisoner in a cell. What do you mean by that?
Actually, if you imagine a situation whereby you live in a house, it's a single house, and that's the bedroom, it's a sitting room, and it's the kitchen. A small house, and that house is also not in a good condition. The iron roofs are not that well made, so...
And when it rains?
Yeah, when it rains, you know, it's very difficult. We have to move. We have to all move into a corner where it's not raining and at least shelter. As in, we are in a house, but we are not that safe.
Justice, you talked about doing work to improve Kibera. I get the feeling that young people have decided they don't want to continue under these conditions and they've gotten together. Why haven't the adults done something similar?
The adults, not so many. That's why we saw like we don't like the life we are living in. We want it for our generation, the coming generation, to get at least better. But majority are young people who are coming up to make it a better place.
So what are some of the things you're doing? I know there's the organization that the film is named after, Hands of Love. Is that involved in fixing things up in Kibera?
Yeah, Hands of Love is mostly we're involved in cleanups, because there are so many diseases that are brought up by the trash that is, and we have no good dumping sites, so we wanted.
There's no sanitation.
Sure, very poor sanitation.
System. People just dump the stuff out in between the houses.
Yeah, in the tunnels, water tunnels. So we decided to at least to show them that we should. Try to clean at least where you stay and to dump them at least very far away from where people stay, because they bring in other diseases that also adds to the bigger challenge. Yeah.
You help create Hands of Love, David?
Yeah. Hands of Love youth group was a group that was formed by like five people. So it was like in school, we had to be given punishment, and the kind of punishment that we were given is like, once you've done a mistake, you are told like to clean up somewhere. So in the situation where there's no punishment, it was like the whole place was in a mess. So we took it as a challenge to ourselves. What can we do so that we can see this place clean as we want it all the time? So that's when we came together and at least tried to clean the place, and... currently, we are 50 members, yeah, who are trying to make Kibera a better place, even though it's not clean as the way we want it. But we have the hope that in future, it will be a very clean place and a nice place to live in.
Jen, this is just one. Oh, you wanted to add something, Justice?
Yeah, currently, we are known as Foundation of Hope. We changed the name from Hands of Love. This is because we invited many people, like the youths are joined. We are 50, and we not only focus on giving our service to the community, we also try to nurture like some talents of those people who are coming up, in that they are not the small talents they have, they don't go to waste. We change the name to Foundation of Hope, in that we have a certain goal to reach, and we have hope that we'll reach there.
You know, Jen, many of these films could be called Foundation of Hope, because they're from all over the world, but you get a feeling that kids have to grow up very young in many places, and the the stories that they're telling here are stories that would not come as a surprise to us if they had been told by adults.
That's true. One of the films we're showing this year is called Kamran's Story, and it features a young man who had to leave Afghanistan at the age of 12 on his own because his father was killed. His mother smuggled him out of the country, and by himself at the age of 12, he made it through several countries, smuggled in the back of refrigerated trucks, beaten by people that were supposed to help him get across various borders. And he eventually made it on his own to the UK, where he lives now, and he's now 16. And the animation, it documents his story. And so he's here in New York. He stepped off the plane in a suit and tie, and it's amazing because, you know, I think last week he only had a pair of ripped jeans to his name, and he's just telling his story to anyone who will listen because there's over, you know, he lives in a house with other Afghan boys.
And where are some of the other films from?
We also have a film this year from Slovenia about the Roma population and the persecution they've historically faced. We have a number of films dealing with issues from Latin America and the Latino community. One film from Ecuador called Migration is about what happens when parents migrate for work in other countries and leave their children behind. We also have a number of films from the United States this year. And in fact, we have another film that was part of this Beyond Green program for Adobe Youth Voices called Image of Contamination, which focuses on the environmental pollution seeping off the Kelly Air Force Base in Texas. So it's a really inspiring program of films, and the young people are just phenomenal.
And for ticket information and schedules, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. My great thanks to Jen Nedbalski, Justice Ungerra, and David Wary for being our guests on today's show.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.